Morning. How many of y'all mean business for Jesus? Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
Word of God.
And God's Word.
God's Word.
Is devil destruction power.
Devil destruction power.
With my Bible.
With my Bible.
I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every day.
Every day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
Word of God.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is the revelation.
The revelation.
Of His will.
Of His will.
For my life.
For my life.
Whatever says I am.
Says I am.
That's what I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever says I can do.
Whatever says I can do.
I can do it.
I can do it.
Whatever says I have.
Whatever says I have.
I claim it.
I claim it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father God, we pray for those who are not here. Father God, that they will begin to have a hunger and a desire for that word. Father God, now we ask, Lord, that those who are here, Lord, that you will give them insight, revelation, and anointing to take this word and put it into practice in their lives, in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Today, we're going to talk to you about something I think that most of you are having some difficulty with. How many of you are having issues with worry, with problems in your lives? Don't be ashamed. How many of you have trouble sometimes just getting God's peace in your lives? How many of you have difficulty with that? How many of you have challenges with that? Well, today we're going to talk about the secret of peace revealed. Praise God.
Amen.
God has revealed the secret of peace. How you can get it. How you can have it. How you can walk in it. Glory to God.
Amen.
I was out jogging yesterday. You know, decided to get back into getting myself in shape and getting myself fit so I can look good, because I know that y'all don't want me up here looking all fat and barely able to breathe, right? As I bring forth the word of God. And as usual, sometimes as I'm out jogging and near out of breath and can't say anything, then God begins to speak to me. See, God has to speak to us when we're able to shut up. Sometimes we want to do all the talking and God can't get a word in edgewise. Oh God, please help me. Oh God, he's trying to say, and you're still talking and talking and talking. Well, praise God. That's me too. So God had to, sometimes God takes me to do exercises and stuff, not just for my physical fitness, but also for my spiritual fitness. And as I was jogging, you know, I just began to ask God to give me his peace. Give me his peace, because sometimes, you know, your mind gets turmoil. And God reminded me of a scripture I'm about to show you in a minute. And then as I was meditating on that scripture, he said, "Son, you need to teach this to your people. You need to teach them how to receive this. You know how to receive it. Teach your people how to receive it." Praise God. Amen. I can't teach you something that I don't know. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, there's a lot of stuff in this Bible I don't know. That's why other people get up here and preach. Like Mary preached last week, and she said some things, and I'm like, wow, I didn't see that before.
Mm-hmm.
See, she knew that. I didn't, so she was able to share it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, there's some things I do know. And I'm able to share those things that I do know and that I put into practice in my life. Praise God.
Amen.
I have learned to stop worrying. I have learned to stop being concerned about things that come up, circumstances that happen to me. And I've learned, because I have learned the secret of receiving God's supernatural peace in my life. Praise God.
Amen.
And I want to teach it to you today. It's not that I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I'm perfect in this, because sometimes the devil still is able to trip me up and get me to and tempt me to worry about things. But I know how to bring myself back, and I'm going to show you how to do that. So say this with me. Say, the secret.
Secret.
Of peace. Has been revealed.
Has been revealed.
Oh, if it's been hidden from you for a while, I want you to know that God is about to show you what to do. You know, the Bible says that he reveals his secrets to his people. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4 in your Bibles. I'm reading from the King James Version. I hope you don't mind, but that's usually the Bible, that the translation everybody has. Some people have the NIV now. Some people have the Living Bible, or the New Living Translation. Others have the Contemporary English Version. We got so many different English translations out there that people are hardly able to follow anymore. So we try to stick with the traditional version, not because we think it's the best, but simply because it's usually the one most used still today. Praise God. Sound like the children are having a good time.
Amen.
We won't stop them.
Amen.
Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Say perfect peace.
Perfect peace.
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 What kind of peace is God going to keep you in?
Perfect peace.
All right. See, when God does things, he does things with perfection. See, men talk about peace, but they have a certain kind of peace that is not consistent with the kind of peace that God has. Praise God.
Amen.
See, my boss might think that she's giving me peace when she says, "Don't worry, Troy. They will promote you. You'll get a pay raise or whatever have you." That might give me a little bit of peace for a while, but see, man's word can be reneged. Praise God.
Amen.
People have promised me things before, and my mind has been in peace until they came back and said, "Oh, Troy, sorry, we can't do that for you. Oh, I forgot all about that, but it's too late now." Have you had that happen to you? I'm sure you have, but I want you to know that God doesn't do that. Praise God. Amen. He keeps you in perfect peace. Praise God. Say perfect peace.
Perfect peace.
So he says that God will keep him in perfect peace. But I want you to see the condition of having perfect peace. What's the condition? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Praise God.
Amen.
You cannot have perfect peace unless you do two things. You keep your mind focused on God, and you trust in God. Praise God. You can't have peace apart from faith. Amen?
Amen.
I have to keep saying amen because y'all so quiet in here. You know, I've been past couple weeks, I've been preaching in some of these Pentecostal churches, and they just get wild in some of them churches, you know? I mean, they be amening me to death in some of them churches. And I come in here to the church that I pastor, and y'all just sit there all quiet, like, "Whatever, pastor, just hurry up and get this done so I can go home and watch the game." All right. I know that all three of y'all ain't doing that. I'm just kidding. All right. But it says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace." Say perfect peace.
Perfect peace.
Whose mind? Say whose mind.
Whose mind?
It stayed on thee.
He stayed on thee.
See, the mind is very, very, very important. And that's one of the things I'm going to talk about primarily today, is how you must discipline your mind in order to keep the peace of God. You see, what happens to your mind is all kinds of thoughts start coming into your mind. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's just say, for example, you go to the doctor, and they do all this checking up on you and take all these tests and stuff like that. And so then they say, "Well, we got to, we can't give you the results right now. We'll have to get back to you in about a week." Many of you will go through turmoil that whole week. Because you're going to start wondering, maybe he's going to find cancer. Maybe he's going to find diabetes. Maybe when I go back there, he's going to tell me I only got a couple of months to live. Maybe. Oh, my goodness. I'm sure when she called me, oh, my God, what's going on? Your boss calls your phone. It says, "So-and-so, I need you to meet me in my office in 3 hours. We need to talk." You put the phone down, your mind starts going through turmoil. Oh, what does he need to talk to me about? What did I do? Maybe it was that thing maybe they caught me surfing Amazon.com on the internet the other day, and they just found out. Oh my goodness, what am I gonna do? What? Maybe it was because of that thing I said, and they found out that I said that. Or maybe I haven't been doing it, you know. Your mind starts going through a lot of turmoil, doesn't it? Doesn't some of y'all go through that?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you do. I go through it. You see, our minds are under attack, praise God. But see, we've got to learn to have our minds stay not on the problems, not on what we're dealing with, not on the circumstances that confront us, but we need to have our minds stayed on Him, praise God. Yes. Earlier we sung a song, "Be magnified, O Lord, you are highly exalted." See, we sung that song because we want to magnify God in our minds, praise God.
Amen.
And verse 4 of Isaiah 26 says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever." Say forever.
Forever.
It doesn't mean just today and then tomorrow you just forget about Him. You must trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. See, God is your strength, praise God.
Amen.
That's why God wants you to trust in Him, not in your circumstances, not in what you're going through, but to trust in Him. See, I wanted to point this out because that word, Lord Jehovah, that's a covenant word. That's God's covenant name. Let's look at a scripture. We're going to come back to Isaiah 26 in a minute. I want you to see God has a covenant name. Anybody know what a covenant is? Anybody ever heard of a contract? Well, a covenant is, I know my African brothers and sisters know what I'm talking about. I know Elder Steve should know what I'm talking about when I use the word covenant. Us Americans, we don't understand that word necessarily because we break contracts and covenants like it ain't nothing. I mean, basketball player signs up for a 10-year contract, making so much money per year, and then 3 years later, because he's starting to get good, and he's getting a lot of fame and stuff, he wants to break the contract, he wants to renegotiate the contract, or he wants to get out of the contract, that's because these contracts are meaningless to people, praise God.
Amen.
Marriage is a covenant, praise God.
Amen.
When that man says, "For sickness and in health, till death do ye part," and you say, "I do," you have just signed to a blood covenant, praise God.
Amen.
And when you consummated that marriage, you enter into that covenant and said, "This is my spouse for life," praise God.
Amen.
But soon as you find out that she squeezes the toothpaste in the middle of the tube instead of the end of the tube, and you start getting irritated, and as soon as you find out that she can't cook worth nothing, and as soon as he finds out that after you done had that baby, when you used to be a 36, 24, 25, now you 58, 59, 72, all of a sudden he wants to break the covenant. See, covenants are unbreakable, praise God.
Amen.
When you enter into a covenant, you are saying, "I will not break this thing, because the only way I can break this is through death." See, God is a covenant God. See, He's not like us. He don't break covenant, praise God.
Amen.
Now I want to show you something about God's covenant name that will be a blessing to you. It says, Judges 6:22, it says, "When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Peace be unto thee. Fear not, for thou shalt not die.'" Now look, Gideon was going through some situations. The Midianites was attacking him and attacking Israel, and God was telling him that you're going to have to go out and deal with this. But God said, "Don't worry about it. Peace be unto you. Do not fear." My friends, you can't be scared and be in peace with God at the same time. Praise God.
Amen.
If you're walking in fear, afraid of what's going to happen in your life, then you're not in peace. But God said, peace be unto thee, and fear not, thou shalt not die. And then Gideon, recognizing that God is true to his word, said this, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. I don't know how to say that word. Some words in the Bible I just do not know how to say. But Jehovah Shalom.
Amen.
Look at that word, Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. This is God's covenant name, Jehovah. This means I am, when you put the word Jehovah, that means he is entering into covenant with you. Shalom means peace. Say peace.
Peace.
See, that's God's word. That's God's covenant name, and that's the word peace. The word shalom means health, prosperity, favor, rest, safety, tranquility, peace. Let me go through that again. Shalom, it means health, prosperity, favor, rest, safety, tranquility. Praise God. God is in covenant with you to do all of that for you. God is in covenant with you to give you health. Talking about not just spiritual health, but even physical health. Praise God. But you got, of course, you can't just eat any old thing you want and then say, well, God didn't keep his promise to keep me in health when you get sick. Amen? Amen. When I was getting sick a couple of weeks ago, I had to go to the doctor and I had to get some albuterol because I was having asthmatic problems. I realized it wasn't just because I wasn't believing God. I was believing God for my healing, praise God. But I can't believe God for my healing and sit around eating all kinds of cookies and cake and candy and not exercising. And then God, heal me, heal me. No, it don't work that way, praise God. So I said, you know what? I said, Troy, get off your lazy behind. Put them running shoes on and get out there and get back to doing what you was doing before. Before you started having these health problems. Amen. Amen. When I began to do my part, God began to do his. I'm feeling good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! All right. Man, I'm going to teach y'all to be Pentecostal sooner or later. All right. But God is in covenant with you to keep you in health, to give you prosperity, to give you favor. How many of y'all need favor on the job? How many of y'all need favor to get a job? I'm telling you. Glory to God. How many of y'all like to be in rest and safety and tranquility, to have your mind at peace? Praise God. That's what I like. Well, God is Jehovah Shalom. He is in your covenant with you to give you all of that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's go back to Isaiah 26:3. Now it says, here, he will keep you in perfect peace. Say perfect peace.
Perfect peace.
See, he's Jehovah Shalom. He's the God that keeps, he's in covenant with you to give you that perfect peace. But the condition to receiving God's promise in your life in that area is that you have to have your mind focused on him. Praise God. You've got to get focused on him. You've got to start putting your mind on him. How many of y'all know that you can't sin and have your mind focused on God at the same time?
No.
No, you can't. You can't pick up the crack pipe and say, thank you, Jesus. You can't pick up the marijuana. Thank you, Jesus. No, you gotta have a perverted mind in order to do that. How many of y'all, before you go out and commit adultery, when you take your clothes off, you saying, thank you, Jesus, I'm about to commit fornication? How many of y'all have done that? How many of y'all have committed adultery and you said, thank you, Jesus, at the same time? None of you. You know why? Because your mind can't be focused on him when you got that beer, that Mad Dog 2020 in your man. Thank you, Jesus. You can't do that. Praise God. See, when my mind is focused on Jesus, then I don't sin. Let me, yesterday we were ministering out at the Amos house. And we ran across a man who was telling us he needed to go to, I forget that the name of the hospital. It's a hospital out here in Rhode Island somewhere where people check themselves in when they get detoxed. And so he was trying to get some money from us so he can catch the bus to go to the hospital. Well, you know, we don't usually just give money away to people. I was about to give him some money, but Pastor Christick stopped me. And the man was saying, oh, he wanted to commit suicide. So he needed, and you know, he had just spent up his whole SSI check on the crack. And so we said, well, we're not going to give you any money so you can catch the bus. We don't know what you're going to do, especially since you're talking about you're going to commit suicide. So we said, we'll drive you to the hospital. So while we had him in the car, and we were talking to him, and you know, he's telling me he wanted to check into a program. I said, well, listen, man. I said, it's fine, check into a program. I said, but you need something stronger than your own will to help you. I said, you need the power of God. And so he said, but I prayed to Jesus, I've asked Jesus so many times to help me, to help me get off this, to set me free. And so, you know, at first I started, you know, when you hear something like that, you get a little discouraged because you said, well, here you are telling this man that he needs to get Jesus, and he'd have prayed to Jesus already, and Jesus, and he said Jesus didn't help him. What are you going to say after that? So that's when you ask the Lord for wisdom. So we asked the Lord for wisdom, and Pastor Christick asked me, he said, did you ever go to church before? And the man said, oh yeah, I went to church. And so I asked him, what church did you go to? He said, I went to such and such a church. So Pastor Christick asked him, what made you stop going to church? And the man said, well, the pastor got up there when I was living with my girlfriend and everything was going well, you know, we were having a good time. And he said, then the pastor got up there and preached against fornication. And then me and my girlfriend started having problems, so I got mad and left the church. So I asked him, I said, so when you were going to church, I said, were you doing drugs? He said, oh no, I was fine. I said, so you got mad, you left the church, and then you started doing drugs again. Yeah? I said, are you with that girl right now? No. I said, was she worth it? No. I said, you're in the mess you in because you decided, because you got mad at the pastor for preaching the truth, and you left the church, and now you in a worse mess than you were in before. Ain't got no job, you getting government assistance, and now you having to go to detox. I mean, I didn't say it like that, y'all. I may sound a little hard right now because I'm preaching, but I was a little nicer when I was talking to him, okay? I was a little nicer about it when I was talking to him. But what I'm trying to get y'all to see is that when you decide to take your mind off, you know, you get caught up in problems. One of the first things I've noticed people do when they start getting caught up in problems, they stop coming to church. Instead of coming to the very place that they need to be at to hear the word of God, they stop coming to church, or they get mad at me for something I said, and I don't go out intentionally try to hurt anybody's feelings. No pastor does. Well, maybe some pastors do, but I'm one that doesn't. You know, sometimes God tells me you need to say this, and I don't want to say it because I'm like, man, I know somebody's gonna get mad at me if I say certain things. But we say it anyhow, and then y'all get offended, and y'all leave, and then a couple months later, I get a call and find out you're in a worse situation than you were in before. So you gotta, if you want God's perfect peace, what do you need to do? What do you need to do? Whose mind is staying on thee? You need to keep your mind focused. Amen?
Amen.
What do you need to do?
Keep your mind focused.
Keep your mind focused on who?
God.
On God. You need to, it says, you need to keep your mind stayed on him. Now, I like the, that word stayed, you know, I don't want to give you a whole bunch of, dictionary definitions, but I do want you to learn this word stayed. The word stayed means to lean upon or take hold of. It means to lean upon, just like I lean on this wall, I'm expecting this wall to support me.
Amen.
That's the way I'm supposed to lean on God. Praise God.
Amen.
My mind is supposed to lean on Him or to take hold of. If I need this tissue, I take hold of it. Praise God.
Amen.
See, your mind needs to depend upon God. It needs to take hold of God, to grasp hold of God. That means it is your free will. You must choose to allow what you must allow or disallow things to come into your mind. Praise God.
Amen.
So you can't stop things from trying to get into your mind, but you can stop them from getting in there and taking root. Did you know that? You most certainly can. See, I can't stop the mailman from delivering my mail, but I can decide whether I'm going to read the mail or not. Praise God.
Amen.
I can't stop you from knocking on my door, but I can decide whether I'm going to let you in. Praise God.
Amen.
See, that's why some of y'all got answering machines like I do. You don't want to take everybody's call. You may be home, answer machine, and you see a certain number come up on the LCD, and you know it's a bill collector, and you said, nope, I ain't answering that one. You made a decision. Praise God. Or it comes up on the LCD and you see, that's Pastor Troy. I ain't talking to him right now. You know some of y'all do that. Y'all be hiding from Pastor. No. I got your number. But your mind has to be stayed on Him. Praise God.
Amen.
You got to make a decision to take hold of God and to lean upon God. Now, let me show you something. Oh, let me see. How much time do I have? I got time. Glory to God. Are y'all learning anything?
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Because this is important for you, because you need to learn how to walk in peace. And a lot of it has to do with you. A lot of it has to do with your will, with your decision making. See, God will give you the power, but He won't force His power on you. He will give you the power to be in peace, but you've got to receive from Him. You've got to take hold of what He is trying to give you. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, I want to show you that if you don't have peace in your life, it is not God's fault. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48. See, my plan was to start preaching a series on the baptism with the Holy Spirit. All the way up until yesterday, God decided to change my plans. So we're walking, we're teaching from His plan right now. Praise God.
Amen.
Obviously, I did not know that people was having so much struggle with this peace thing. But see, that's why God gives you pastors. Because He wants y'all, He wants us to feed y'all in the areas where you're not, where you're lacking. Isaiah 48, beginning at verse 17, it says, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit." Ooh, I like that. Don't you want God to teach you how to profit?
Mm-hmm.
How many of y'all want to get blessed?
Amen.
How many of y'all want more? How many of y'all need more money in your pocket?
Amen.
I know I do. I need more money. I want more money. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with having money. It's wrong when money has you. Amen.
Amen. That's true.
Now, when money has you, then you, instead of you coming to church, you out on your yacht. Well, I got satellite. I just watch TBN. No, you need to be here. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. 48:17. He says, "Your God will teach you the prophet, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments." In other words, if you had just listened to what God had to say, "then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also hath been as the sand, and the offsprings of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Now what God is saying here is that if you had just listened to me, then I would have given you the peace like a river. You would have floods of peace in your mind. The reason why we don't have God's peace is because we don't listen to him, praise God. We don't listen to his word. We don't do what he says. We think that we know it all. We get caught up and listen to everybody's advice but God's. We run to everybody but God. We run to the credit union, get a loan. We run to this person and get their advice and they ain't a bit more saved than the man on the moon. Or they claim to be saved but they ain't living right. But God says, if you listen to me, if you would just do as I have told you, then your peace would have been as a river. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25, if you're taking notes, you can write this scripture down. It says, your sins have withheld good things from you. It's not God that's withholding things from us, praise God. It's not God that wants to keep us from having those good things in our lives. It's not him that's trying to keep us from getting the things that he's promised. He is Jehovah Shalom. He wants to give you his peace. If he didn't want you to have peace, he would never have promised it in the first place. The reason why we don't have God's peace is because we don't have our mind focused on him or on his word. Praise God. Amen. The only way to focus on God is to focus on what he says about himself in his word. How many of you all have seen God? How many of y'all have seen him? The Bible says no man has seen him. Now there are people who have visions of God. I've had dreams before, but I've never seen God in my dreams. You know, some people have actually gone before the throne of God in a vision, or actually they died and gone to heaven and come back and stuff like that. And they've talked to God, they spent time with God. Me personally, never had any of that. I've had a few dreams where God has shown me what my ministry is going to be about and stuff like that, but never have actually seen God face to face. Everything I truly know about God, I've learned from this book. So the only way for me to focus my mind and to get the peace of God is to focus on what his commandments say, praise God. You see, when I'm sick, I begin to focus on the fact that Jehovah Rophe is the Lord, my healer. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
That Jesus is my healer. When I'm in a tough situation, I begin to focus on the fact that God is my strength and my deliverer. Praise God.
Amen.
When I'm going through trials and when the devil's attacking me, then I begin to focus on the fact that that God is Jehovah Nissi, my victory banner.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
When I'm in a storm,
Amen.
I begin to focus on the fact that God is my rock and my salvation. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. And when I'm feeling like I'm lost and I don't know any direction, then I begin to focus on the fact that he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, my shepherd, and he's leading me beside the still waters. Glory to Jesus.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. See, I begin to focus on these things about God. When the devil tries to tell me it ain't going to happen, I begin to focus on the fact that my God, that there is nothing impossible to my God. Glory to God.
Amen.
Oh, when the devil tries to get me down, and tell me how these things ain't going to come to pass, how I may not get a house, how I may not get, how I may be stuck on the streets or whatever have you, I begin to say that my God is a mighty God.
Amen.
He's the ruler of the universe. He's the sovereign God. The earth is his and the fullness thereof. I begin to focus on that, and glory to God, my mind gets at peace.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah, glory hallelujah. To God.
Hallelujah.
But you can't focus on God unless you know the word of God. So when you know the word of God, you begin to listen to the word of God. And then your mind gets at peace. You begin to have peace like a river. But that's why you need to renew your mind. Praise God.
Amen.
You've got to know the word of God. You've got to renew your mind if you want to walk in the peace of God. So how do we get our minds to stay on him? We discipline the mind by making it focus on God and his promises to us. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. I was going to try to get this all done today. I don't know if I'm going to make it today. We'll probably have to do this again next week. or teach the rest of this next week. Just so we can get y'all out of here, get y'all home so y'all can, you know, make sure that the pot roast don't burn or whatever have you. Or maybe your son don't burn the house while you're gone. So, but turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Are you learning anything at all today?
Amen.
Oh, all right, encourage me. Let me know that I'm actually teaching something.
Amen.
All right. Encourage your pastor now. Let me know I'm giving you some good teaching so that I can continue to do this. And not try to sneak out of here and go to some of them churches I've been invited to. I'm committed to this church, praise God.
Amen.
I'm committed to you people. I just want our folks to become more committed to us. Amen. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So where the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty." Say mighty.
Mighty.
The weapons you have are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, let me try to help you understand what a stronghold is. See, a lot of people have been teaching this thing called territorial spiritual warfare, where they talk about the strongholds over the cities and stuff like that. And they teach that we need to come in here with our combat boots and our fatigues on and pray and bring down these spirits. That's not what the scripture's talking about, praise God. Now, we do get into warfare, but we don't fight against the principalities over. There are principalities over these regions, but there's nothing in scripture that teaches us that we're supposed to cast them down. What the strongholds in this scripture is talking about are the strongholds in your mind. Say, in my mind.
In my mind.
See, what happens is when the devil starts putting up lies, he puts them up in your mind. This is where the warfare is at. You've got to break the lies, the I can't do this type understanding out of your mind and replace it with I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God.
Amen.
I think it was David Meyer, Joyce Meyer's husband, who said that some people need a good kick in the can knocks. You know, they say good kick in the can, but anyway. But we need a good kick in the can of knots. We need to stop thinking. We need to get these strongholds out of our mind. We need to focus on what God can do, not on our own ability. See, the strongholds in our mind are these lies that the devil has told us. See, everybody out there, the reason why most of them are not saved, the Bible says it this way, whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of men. He's lied to them. He's told them, you don't need Jesus. You're all right. Just be a good person. Walk little old ladies across the street. Let your good things outweigh your bad. And one day when you stand before St. Peter, he'll let you in. The devil's blinded their minds, praise God. He's made them think that if I just become a Buddhist, I'll be okay. If I'm a Muslim, I'll be all right. I'll just serve Allah. No, you need Jesus, baby.
Amen.
Jesus is the only way
yes.
to God.
Amen.
There's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved except the man Christ Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
So you need Jesus as Savior if you're going to make it to heaven.
Amen.
But see, many people's minds are blocked by the lies and deceptions that go against God's word. And that's what the Bible calls strongholds. Now, some of you, even though you're Christians, you're born again, you love Jesus, you're trying to do the best you can, some of you still got strongholds in your own minds. Either lies that you've been told by other churches or other Christians or whatever have you. That, you know, just hold on, baby. It's going to be all right. You don't know how to fight against the lies that the devil's been telling you. You don't know how to stand on the word of God until you see your change come, praise God.
Amen.
So, but this is what the Bible says. The Bible tells you that you, say me.
Me.
I make the decision as to what I allow in my mind and what I do not allow in my mind. See, Mike Murdoch, I heard him say this many years ago back in the 80s. He said, everybody influences somebody, but you choose to allow who influences you. Amen.
Amen.
See, I can choose who I allow to influence me or what I allow to influence me. I can watch TV and I know how to filter in my mind what's crazy and what's against the Word of God, but I got to know the Word of God in order to do that. Praise God. And I can choose to, see, some of y'all watch the news, and unfortunately some of y'all believe what you watch. Whether it's Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, you need to take everything one of these people say with a grain of salt. Because most of the people on these TV stations are not saved. Amen. And even if you watch Christian stations, you need to be very careful of them too. You need to know, if you listen to Pastor Troy, you need to be very careful. Praise God. You need to have your Bible open and follow what Pastor Troy is saying and make sure Pastor Troy is telling you the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Don't, now you go, if Pastor Troy leads you to hell, it's your fault, all right? I may go to hell too.
Don't leave.
That's why I'm telling you, you gotta have your Bibles. Keep your Bibles open, because Pastor Troy might get up one day and say, Jesus really is not Lord. I've gotten a new revelation. I am now the new Messiah. Y'all, come down here and worship me.
Jones.
Reverend Jackson. That's exactly what I was thinking about, too. Reverend Jones. Me and my wife was watching a documentary on him the other day. See, y'all, that's why I'm telling you, you got to be careful. You got to be very careful. Now, as long as Pastor Troy is leading you and showing you the Word of God, you need to listen to what Pastor Troy says. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm giving you the Word of God. But you... 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5 says, casting down. Say that. Let's read this together. Say, casting down.
Casting down.
Imagination.
Imagination.
And every high thing.
And every high thing.
That exalted itself.
That exalted itself.
Against the knowledge of God.
Against the knowledge of God.
And bringing into captivity.
And bringing into captivity.
Every thought.
Every thought.
To the obedience of Christ.
To the obedience of Christ.
That word imagination means thought. Ideas and suggestions. It is up to you to cast down every thought, every idea, every suggestion that goes against the knowledge of God. Praise God.
Amen.
Where do you find God's knowledge at?
In His Word.
Where at, Mary?
In His Word.
Oh, man. Mary, you get an A. You passed the class. The rest of y'all taking the class over again. Where do we find the knowledge of God?
His word.
And what's His word?
The Bible.
The Bible is the Word of God. So every idea, thought, and suggestion that comes to your mind, you must cast it down. Praise God.
Amen.
It is your decision. You must have your mind stayed on this and not on every other thing that comes into it. Praise God.
Amen.
Whether it's the doctor who tells you, I don't know, you only got 3 months to live. Or whether it's your boss calling you up and saying, you know, we have to lay off at least 30 people and we haven't made any decisions yet, but we got a long list and we just wanted to warn you. And you say, I'm on that list. I know I'm on that list. Oh God, what am I going to do? You got to cast down those thoughts. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I'm not telling you something that I didn't go through. I've gone through all of that. My wife would tell you, we have gone through hell and high water. I mean, we were promised things. I was promised jobs. When I got out of the military, people told me, oh yeah, we're gonna hire you. We're gonna take the position I had in the military. Yeah, we're gonna take that position and convert it over to a civilian position. So you ain't got nothing to worry about. They lied. Friend of mine's at church. Say, oh, sure, man. You getting out just in time. Over at my job, they need somebody with your skills. They need somebody who's got computer skills and supply skills. Wow, man, you're gonna be doing great. He lied. Oh, I had all these promises can't come to me.
They lied in their word.
Yeah. That's right, Mom. They lied. I've had all these different promises come to me. But you know what? I said, God, you told me to get out the military. You the one who gave me your word. You going to supply all my need. I had these two girls. I didn't have a son at the time. I had these two girls to feed, and they wasn't going back to here. Well, daddy made a mistake, so y'all going to have to starve to death. I wasn't about to hear that. So we had to trust God. God opened doors that no man could shut. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But see, it's because I kept my mind stayed on him. I did not allow these people who came to me and promised me one thing one minute and then told me, oh, it ain't going to happen the next minute. Even when they told me what's going to happen, I said, God, I know you're going to take care of me.
Amen.
You're going to take care of me. And
Amen.
God did it, and he did it in abundance. Glory
Hallelujah.
To God. But see, I had to cast down the thoughts. Don't think that the thoughts didn't come to me. The thoughts came to me. See? Look at, are you sure the Lord spoke to you? Are you sure the Lord told you to get out the military? Are you sure God's going to take care of you? Now you remember when so-and-so got out the military, look what's going on with them right now. They really struggling. They don't know if they're going to make it. You know, me and my wife, we've had friends who got out the military the same time I did. And they were struggling big time, suffering, couldn't get jobs or anything. Some of them could barely get any interviews. So the devil's, that's the other thing. The devil's going to show you your struggling friends and going to say, see, it ain't happening for them, so it ain't happening for you either. But you know what? I didn't focus on them. I prayed for them, but I didn't focus on them. I focused on this book. Praise God.
Amen.
Every thought that came against me, that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, I stood against it. Praise God.
Amen.
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 We're going to stop right here. Although I want to go and do, I want to talk about more. There's so more, much more I want to give y'all, but I want to make sure y'all come back next week. All right. So, amen. So, stand to your feet.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Amen.